Glad you're here. We've got some music back there. The pastor asked me to put it out, and I don't put it out very often. I don't know why, but he said, I'd like for you to put it out. And so if you'd like to go back to the table, we've got three CDs back there, and they're three for $20. And then we've got some of the old-fashioned tapes, and those are three for $10. And then we've got a book back there, The Stay in the Castle. Have you ever, anybody ever read that book or heard of it? Yeah, this is great. This is great. Folks, if you got any teenagers, they need to have this book. It will tell them the importance of who to marry and to wait and not get ahead of things. And a lot of young people get ahead. And then they live to regret it. And sometimes they just can't get over it. But this is excellent. Just an excellent book. So, they're back on the table. And after it's over, listen, you better watch what you ask for. Watch what you ask for. This 50-year-old couple was walking the sands in Miami. And they kicked a bottle and a genie popped out. And you can tell what's coming next, right? And the genie said, anything you ask for. One wish. Anything you ask for. And the wife said, well, I'd like to go on a cruise. That quick. Six tickets in her hand. She said to the 50-year-old husband, what do you ask for? He said, I'd like to have a wife 30 years younger than me. He was 80. Yeah. See, you better watch now. Watch what you ask for. That's the way it goes. If you would like to pray for us, I have some of these, I call them Bible markers, and got a picture that was taken in a meeting we had just recently, and they put that on here for us. And it has a couple of quotations on here. Revival is the renewal of the first level of Christians, resulting in the awakening and conversion of sinners to God. Charles Finney. And then on the back, we've got Tori's Revival Prescription. And this is good. And you can put it right in your Bible. And when you see it, I hope you open your Bible often. If you're reading through the Bible, just let this be the marker where you are. And every time you see it, just pray for us. We really appreciate that. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Get to the piano. And while you get to the piano, I've got a little guy here that wants to say hello tonight. And we've had so many things in the service, sometimes I say, well, I won't use him tonight, but I think this is the time for him. And would you introduce yourself? I am Grandpa Dog. Well, Grandpa, we're glad to have you. Where'd you get a name like that? I'm glad you asked. My great, 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 Grandpa. How many was that? I have no idea. He came over on the ark. You don't mean it. He came over wood on the ark. I am not a lion dog. Well, I'll tell you. So, have you got any story? Have I got some stories to tell? They pass right down through the ages. Well, tell me the most interesting. Well, all these folks were watching, and the ark was finished, and they said, oh, isn't this something? And all of a sudden, here came some animals. They were coming out from everywhere. And the people said, look at this. Oh, I never saw anything like this before. And there were the giraffes and the elephants, and there were the lions and the tigers and all the wolves. And here they came. Just every animal in the whole world. Mm-hmm. And they went right through the door of the ark. Oh, yeah, yeah. Grandpa Dog was one of them.
He saw it from the inside. That's good. And then they watched. They said, ooh, what do we tell our kids about this? This is better than Disney World. And so then they said, look, here he comes. And there they were. There was a family. And said, look, there's the old nut. Of course, that was Noah, you know. He was a nut to them. And so they went in. And when they went in, the door slammed shut. Somebody said, did you see that? Well, sure, I was looking right at it. Nobody shut the door. What? No one shut the door. You've got to be kidding. God shut the door. Yeah, that's right. I think I'll get ordained. Yeah. Yeah, he shut the door. And then, all of a sudden, they were laughing about this thing, and a dark thought ended up in the air. What's that? I don't know. Never saw one of those things before. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger until it covered the whole sky. And then they quit laughing and got a frown on their face. And then there was lightning. And it scared them to death. And then there was thunder. And then the whole sky turned dark. And the rain started coming down. And the water started coming up. And they said, we got to get in the ark. Let's get in the ark. Let's get in the ark. They couldn't get in the ark because the door was closed. They said, we've got to hang on. And the water came down and the water came up from the top. And they hung on. You don't get saved the hanging on. You get saved the being inside. And they went down and the ark went up. Oh, boy. I sure am glad Grandpa Doug was in the inside to live to tell the story. Yes, sir. Now, tonight, you better be sure Jesus is in you and you're in him, because he's not. You're going down and I'm going up. Amen. Think I'll get ordained. Help me sing it. Let's stand together. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. Stir me to witness to the world today. Give me compassion for lost dying man. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Oh, revive me, I pray. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I do not put these out on the table because so many people just grab them and take them up and use them for other things, especially the children. They get them. And so these are for these little markers, bookmarkers. Reminds you to pray for us. And so if you do that, come up and see me. I've got some in my pocket that I want to give you. I want to talk to you tonight about a man who learned his lesson the hard way. Now, some of us have to be hit in the head by some bolt of lightning to get us to understand what we ought to be doing today before the rapture comes. And this man learned his lesson the hard way. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, we begin reading with verse number 11. In the book of Luke. Now, in the book of Luke here, chapter 15. I didn't give you that, did I? Verse number 11, chapter 15. Now, we see in here that there was a sheep that was lost. There's a piece of silver that was lost. One of one was lost, and one of eight pieces of silver was lost. And then we see one that was lost. And this is a man. Now, I think that when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking this day, He was speaking to a crowd, and I believe, I can't prove this, but I believe that there was a crowd of people listening, and I believe in that crowd was a man that had 100 sheep and had had this very experience. I believe that. I believe that this lady in verse number 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. And then either what woman of you had 10 pieces of silver, 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house until she finds it, calls in her friends. I think there was a man in there that was a shepherd and had this experience. If the Lord Jesus Christ were here tonight and speaking, he could talk about each one of us individually. And he could say some things that we wouldn't want anybody else to hear. But he knows. He knows. And then this woman that lost her piece of silver, I think she was in the crowd too. And I also think that this man was in the crowd. And that's in verse 11 of chapter 15 of the book of Luke. Verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat, be merry, for this my son was dead, and was alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. This is a wonderful account. The black preacher preached a message like this. I'm honest in saying I'd rather hear a black spirit-filled preacher preach the Word of God than a white preacher, because they say it in a way that puts it down there in a trough where you can take it home with you. And I love it. I just love to hear black preachers preach. Well, this black preacher outlined his message this way when he said, this boy got mad. He turned out bad, became very sad, but ended up glad. That pretty well tells the whole thing, doesn't it? Now, this story is told by the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been labeled by some literary analysts to be the greatest short story ever written. Why not? It was written by the Lord Jesus Christ, the best storyteller of all ages. Now, here in this 15th chapter of the book of Luke, talks about a lost sheep, talks about lost silver, and it talks about a lost son. I believe, as I said earlier, they were in the congregation when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. Now, this can be used to tell about somebody that's lost, or it can tell about a backslider, however you would like to apply it. Well, the first part of this young man's career, he was a typical sinner. Now, this serves as a warning. And then in the second part of his career, he was a model penitent. First, he was headstrong. First, he was disobedient. And in this, we may see some of our own characteristics. And in this, he became humble the second time, and his attitude was completely changed. And that's what it takes in salvation. This man was a typical sinner. A typical sinner is self-willed. A typical sinner knows more about heaven and hell than the average Christian does, because he talks about it all along. Ah, you can have that heaven. And there's no hell. If there is, I'll have plenty of friends down there. Well, if you go to hell, you won't know about any friends down there, and you're sorry they're there, just like you're sorry that you'll be there. And so it's not a place to make friends. It's not a place at all. But in his second part, he became humble. His attitude was changed. His heart was changed. In his first, he was a typical sinner. He was self-willed, germ of evil. He wanted to live in this life. He resented his father's authority. Young people, now listen. He resented what he was as a child. He was stubborn. He wanted to feel that he wanted his own way. He was his own master. God made man in his image, and now today, man is trying to make God in man's own image. And this is the plague of the world. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You talk to the many lost sinner, and they know more about the Bible, they say, than you do. And the truth is, they may know a lot about the Bible, but they've not accepted the only one that can take them to heaven and save them from an eternal hell. And this young man was headstrong. He was disobedient. He was depraved. He was a spender. He was selfish. He was wasteful. He devoured his father's living with harlots. You know, a young Jewish boy can ask for his inheritance before his father dies. And the father was a willing father and gave him what he asked for. He was disobedient, he was depraved, he was selfish, he was a spender and wasteful. He devoured his father's living with harlots, in verse number 30. He was proud. A man's pride will bring him low. That's what the Bible says. He was arrogant, haughty, rebellious. He was greedy. He said, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me." And his father divided unto him his living. And so, this young man was a lost, typical sinner. But then when he got out, and he spent all of his living, and had a big time with all the women, and had a big time, all of his money was gone. And he did what a lot of people in this condition have done. He went to live with the hogs. Now, they may not go to live with the hogs, but in their life, they're living a life that's in filth, a life that's in sin. All their money is gone. They've wasted it on riotous living. They wasted it on wine, women, and song. And now they're away. And this young man was away. He was away from God. And in this we see a model penitent. He was eating with the hogs. But the key is, and it's the key in everybody's life if they're going to get saved, he came to himself. And maybe you're sitting here tonight, and you're a good person. And you get along fine with people. Maybe you haven't wasted everything. But the question is, have you come to yourself? And this young man came to himself. And he thought, "I'm eating with the hogs. All the money was gone. he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he began to eat with the hogs. And the secret is, he came to himself. Have you come to yourself? And he said, how many of my father has servants and bread enough to spare, yet I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father. You can't be saved without repenting. And when he got to his father, his first prayer was not, Father, give me, like his first prayer was when he went away, but his first prayer was when he came back. He said, Father, make me. Shows his humility. He was a model peasant. He had to lose all that he had to let the Lord speak to his heart. It sort of reminds me of Jonah. Jonah took off. And he didn't come to himself until he got in the belly of the whale. And he repented of his wickedness, and God made the fish sick. And if you're away from the Lord, you're making other people sick. You're leading other people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is trying to speak to you. He wants you to walk with Him. He doesn't want you to walk in the world of filth and sin and degradation. And so the Bible is teaching us that this young man was mad, bad, sad, but because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he became glad. He became sad and then glad. He had to lose all that he had to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, God's tried to get your attention in many ways. Maybe through severe illness. Maybe through a close call. Or maybe the death of a friend or an unexpected calamity. We had a radio broadcast in our first ministry out of school, out of temple. And it was called Singing His Praises. And we came on with Singing His Praise, the King of Glory, that all nations now proclaim. And that was our theme. And a fellow by the name of Bobby Jones put us on the air down in Dothan, Alabama, W-O-O-F. And we did that every Sunday afternoon. And we had a special song, and then I had a testimony, and we had some things that were just very interesting. And so I'd say, Bobby, I want you to come to church. He said, I can't. I don't have time to come to church. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm married. And he said, I have a dance band. And he said, I play every Saturday night. Sometimes I don't finish till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And he said, I just can't come to church. And I said, well, why do you do that? Well, he said, I got a car that I have to pay for. He said, I got a house that I have to pay for. And he said, I've got a son, and I just have to do this. There's no other way. I said, well, Bobby, God may have to take all that stuff away from you to get your attention. Now, this is over a period of time as I was witnessing to him. And he said, no, thank you. He said, this is what I have to do, and so I keep going. And so every Sunday we would go out, talk to Bobby. I'd talk to him about some of this stuff. And Bobby would say, well, thank you for your interest. And so he wouldn't budge. And then one week after I was out there and we did our Singing His Praise program, I got a call from the sheriff's department. And said, we've got a man down here, and he's asking for you. I said, well, what's his name? He said, it's Bobby Jones. So I went to the jailhouse, and they put me in the cell with him. I didn't feel comfortable in there, I won't tell you that right now. If you had claustrophobia, that's no place for you to be. And he's sitting on this steel bench. This pastor's seen that more times than I can tell. He had been sitting on the bench, but Bobby was. And I went in and sat down beside him. I said, Bobby, what in the world has gone wrong? He said, I put a pistol up to my wife's head. He said, I pulled the trigger and it misfired. He said, I dropped it to the floor, ran out of the house screaming. I said, how about your car? He said, it's been repossessed. I said, how about your house? He said, we've lost it. I said, how about your wife? She's divorcing me. How about your boy? He's gone with mama. I didn't know what to say to him. He said it all. I didn't have to say anything. I said, Bobby, what are you going to do about it? And he broke in crying. He said, I'm going to get saved. And I'm glad to report that he did. And when Christmas time came, Bobby Jones was in our church and he narrated the Christmas program that I conducted. Now, in order to come up, he had to go down. But you don't have to go down to come up. All you have to do is to use your noggin for something beside a hat rack or a false wig. If you'll just think and just realize that you're going to go to one of two places. And if you don't decide now where it's going to be too late then. But thank God that this story turns out in a good way. Now the prodigal son here in verse number 17, the Bible says, came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me. His first prayer in verse 12 was, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And in verse number 19, when he got out of the hog pen, he said to his father, make me. I can picture this. Now, we've been in Spain and we've been in houses where they had a roof that you walk on, those flat roofs, got a banister around them. You've been in those and you go up and you sit there in the night and look at the stars and it's just beautiful. I can imagine that every day since this boy left, that father would climb those steps, lean on that banister, and look out over that horizon. Where is my boy? This is a pretty good lesson for all of us. If you've got a wayward boy or a wayward girl, and you're helping them by giving them money, you're not helping them at all. You're hurting them. If this father would not have given that boy that money, he would not have done what he did. And the worst thing you can do is to support a son or a daughter's sin when they're away from your house and out in the world. That's the worst thing in the world you could do. Because if they didn't have anything, they'd have to come home. And when this boy spent all and he was eating with the hogs, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And he came to himself. You see, when people are away from God, they are not in themselves. They're following the devil. They're following the wrong crowd. And he came to himself and he thought, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? They got too much to eat. And I'm down here feeding with the hogs in the hog pen. I'm going to go to my father. That's repentance. You know, it's pretty hard to repent. You got so many things that you're ashamed of. Now, how are you going to get rid of those? Name them every single one. Don't leave any of them out. You say, well, I can't remember. Oh, God will remind you of it. If you're on the right trail, He'll remind you. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've already experienced this thing. Now I can picture the Father every day. He's getting old. It's harder for Him to make the steps to get up on the roof. He leans on the banister. And He's thinking, where is my wandering boy? Where is my son? And then the son has come out of the hog pen. He doesn't know what his father's going to do, but he heads home. And through the dimming eyes of that father, he's looking out. Now, there's something in the distance. Could it be an animal? Could it be a sheep? Could it? What is that? Is that a camel? What is that out there? And he strains his old dim eyes and he said, well, that's the form of a man. And as he looks, he said, it's my boy! It's my boy! And the old man ran as fast as he could and loved his son and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, my son is coming home. My son is home. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, died for everybody in this auditorium, for everybody outside this church building, for everybody in Billings, and everybody in Great Falls. I'm mentioning some of the places where we've been in meetings, and everybody in Lewistown, and everybody in other states, and everybody in every continent of the world, and every human being in the whole wide world, there's enough blood shed on Calvary because Jesus Christ gave His life for every single individual. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there's only hell. Without the shedding of blood, there's eternity without God and without hope. But thanks be to God for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this lad had to come to himself. He complains of no one but himself. He admits his selfishness. He does not blame his evil companions. Are those who lured him? He had nothing against the citizens who let him feed his husk to himself. Pride was no longer a factor. Another mark of repentance is that he had said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And the surest mark of his repentance that he was henceforth subject to authority. He came back to his father's house. And the Bible is teaching us very clearly. Mordecai Ham and Hyman Appleman were the main evangelists between Billy Sunday and Billy Graham. I told the preacher this the other day. Billy Graham was in his meeting out in California. Some will remember that. It was a big deal where all those movie stars got saved out there. And Billy Graham had 8 sermons at that time. And they asked him to extend for a week. And he called Hyman Appleman. Her daddy was associate to Hyman Appleman. In Australia, they were there for 6 months. You can look it up on the commuter. There were 9,600 conversions in the 6 months they were there. Her daddy led a choir of 1,000 voices in their closing revival meeting there in Sydney. Hyman Appleman gave Billy Graham 8 sermon outlines that he finished that California meeting in. I have shaken hands with Mordecai Ham, heard him speak. That was back in the early 50s when I first went to school. He said that he preached to a black congregation one time and said, "What's your name, brother?" He said, "Just think of the best part of the hog." He said, "Reverend Chitlins, I'm glad to know you." Mordecai Ham told this story. I'll never forget. It was a story that I haven't heard anywhere else. And he told it for something that actually happened. He said there was a slave. And this slave loved the Lord. And he would sing about Jesus when he was out working. And it started troubling the owner of this slave. And he talked to him about it and said, "You got to quit that." He said, "Master, I can't quit that." He said, "He's my Lord and my Savior. And I love Him and He saved my soul." He said, "Well, don't do it around here anymore. I don't want to hear that anymore." And he put more work upon him. But it didn't bother the old black man at all. The slave just kept singing. And it seemed like he was encouraged to even sing more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was singing as he worked. And they put more work upon him and more work on him. Loaded him down. And it didn't faze him at all. He just kept doing it and kept thanking Jesus that he was alive. And finally, he came to him and he said, "Look, what have you got? I want what you've got." He said, "Master, if you get what I got, you got to go down and get on your knees in the hog pen. And you got to get down there with all them hogs and ask Jesus to save you and tell Him you're a sinner." He said, "Don't talk to me that way." And he put more work on him. Now, I'm telling you as Mordecai Ham, as I heard him tell this. Now, he put more work on the black man. But the black man didn't break. And he'd sing about Jesus. "Lord, I'm coming home," and all those good songs. And just as he worked, he came to him and he said to the black man, the owner said, "All right, all right," and called his name. He said, "Tell me what to do. I want what you've got. You got to tell me what to do." He said, "Massa, if you got what I got, you got to go down there with them hogs. And you've got to get on your knees down there with them there hogs like that boy did in the Bible and ask God to save you." And boy, he got upset at that for sure. And then it started sleepless nights with the master. And in the wee hours of the morning, after several sleepless nights, he got up. He went down to the servants' quarters and woke up the slave and said, "All right, all right, you win. You win. I'm ready to go to the hog pen." And he said, "Master, you don't have to go to the hog pen. You just got to be willing to go." The Bible teaches us that we can be saved, but we have to come to the end of ourselves. We don't give up anything. We take on everything. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. the way up is down. And the only way to go to heaven is to come to yourself and look at yourself and see what you've been doing, what you've been thinking, where you've been going, how you've been dressed, the way you talk, the language you use. Come to yourself. And when you stand in the front of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that you've ever done will come to mind that's sin and against God and heaven, and it's only hellish in your thinking and living, and that's the way up. And when this boy came to himself in the hog pen, he said, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, and am no more worthy to become thy child. And he repented of his sin and trusted Christ as his Savior. That's the only way to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I may be talking to somebody tonight, and you may be in that hog pen. You say, well, I wouldn't do anything. No, but if you're lost, you may as well be in a hog pen. It's just as bad. I'm glad to tell you that Jesus Christ died for you on Calvary. He gave his life so that you could be saved, so that you could go to heaven. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? The decision is yours. The Lord will not send you to hell. He will not send you to hell. It's your decision to go to hell against his death, burial, and resurrection. He reaches out to save you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And every lost sinner is one heartbeat away from forever without God, without loved ones, in hell, lifting up your eyes, being in torments, not wanting anybody else to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that the Spirit of God will take the message, speak to our hearts, help us to be what we should be for the glory of God, and for the person who is here that may be lost tonight, or maybe the Christian that's living a life like a lost person. The message applies. And Father, we pray that no one will leave this building that is under conviction without coming first and getting the thing settled, so that peace and joy and eternal happiness can start now. Because if it doesn't, then it's going to be the opposite for eternity. So speak to hearts right now, we pray. I want us to sing Just As I Am with that one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Now if you're interested in praying for someone, maybe it's someone here tonight. I don't know. The Lord led me to preach this message. If there's one person here without Jesus, if there's one person here that's away from God, if there's one person here that's living in a way that's unbecoming to a Christian, and you call yourself a Christian, you need to get right. You need to do it tonight. And don't leave this building without putting Jesus Christ first in your heart. If you're saved and away, come back. If you've never been saved, come to and do what God wants you to do. Let's all stand together as we sing. Our pastor, song leader, comes to help us. Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. It's 167 if you need it. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me
come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Before we sing the third verse, and let's bow our heads and have eyes closed for just a moment. How many of you know of someone? Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a business acquaintance. But someone, you know, they're not saved. They could even be in the service tonight. I don't know. But you know someone. And as we finish singing these verses of this song, you know of someone that you would like to see saved. Maybe conviction would fall upon them tonight while you're praying for them. They could be in another state somewhere. You know them. Could be your own relative. Loved ones. I don't know. God knows. You say, Brother Bobby, I've got somebody. I've got a name upon my heart. And I want you to help me pray for them while we sing this next verse. If you know somebody like that and you're interested in them, would you lift your hand all over the bed? Boy, that's almost 100%. Thank you. Lord, I do not know who these are, but Thou knowest. Thou knowest. You had them in mind when you went to Calvary. You had them in mind when you came forth from the grave. You had them in mind when you ascended up to heaven. You've got them in mind now because you're coming, and you don't want to leave them. You want them to come. You want them to be saved. You want them to go to heaven instead of hell. And so we pray for these. And I'm sure there's more than one behind each hand that's raised. It was almost 100%. If there's somebody here tonight that will give themselves in prayer day after day after day after day until by faith they see their loved one come to know Christ or their friend, we pray that Thou wilt help them to come. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help them to dedicate themselves to prayer, daily prayer, until they see their relatives or their friends come to know Jesus as personal Savior. You can bring conviction of a friend on the other side of the world by prayers right here in Great Falls. So do a work in our hearts. And every one of us, we pray. Verse number 3. Let's sing together.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
One other thing I'd like to say. If you have a friend that lives in this area and they're not saved, and you are praying that they will be saved, and you have enough faith that the power of the gospel can save their soul, then I'm going to ask you to leave your place and come and stand where you pray that you will see your friend, your relative, or loved one stand by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And by faith, just come and stand where you pray that you will see them standing, say, I've put my faith in Christ. I've asked Him to save me. I am born again. I am now on my way to heaven. If you've got somebody like that on your heart, be it friend or relative, makes no difference, but they're close enough to this area to get them to come to this church, and you pray that and trust by faith that the Spirit of God will so get a hold of their heart. Maybe because you win them to Christ before they even come here. But you're praying for that individual. And I'm going to ask you to come and stand for a closing prayer. The pastor's going to lead us in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to come and stand where you'd like to see your friend. It could be your wife. Could be your husband. Could be your children. I don't know. Could be a relative. Could be just a good friend. But as we sing this verse, you just come and stand with that person in mind. Just as I am, poor wretched blind. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Now, everybody with their heads bowed, except those that are here at the front, you don't have to say, you don't have to say a name. You don't have to say, just say, somebody I work with. I have a loved one. I have a relative. And I pray that I will see them standing here at the front. Where I am, I pray that they will be in this building. And I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to do everything within my power. And let's start right over here. And you don't have to give a name. But just say a friend, a loved one, a neighbor. It may be a relative. And let's start right here. A co-worker that I work with. A co-worker. And you're praying that you will see them. Yes, Renee. Thank you. I'm sorry? Yeah. Relatives. Thank you. It's in this state. Yes, ma'am. Relative. All right. Yes, ma'am. Neighbor. Friend. Friend. Neighbor. Good. All right. Now listen. Call their name before the Lord. Call their name before the Lord. Call it several times. Don't just out of cold turkey go over and start talking to them. Call their name before the Lord several times. Lord, I want you to prepare the heart. I can't do it. But I want you to help me to live in a way that they will understand me, and that they will listen to my invitation. Just pray that way. And then you go to them and say, I'm praying for you. And go to them and say, I'd like for you to come and go with me to Heritage. Everybody here can do that. Let's follow through. Pastor, will you lead us, please?
But you can prove yourself. Lord, show us the hope of your good. Lord, I pray you just speak to those hearts that we have thought of. We pray, God, you just bring under great conviction.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, one of these near days, we see them.
Mm.
Lord, God bless the service business to go home and bring it back tomorrow.
Mm.
Great service for us.
Mm.
Be here and ready to hear the word of God.
Mm.
Amen.
Here's two things. Pray for him and invite. Pray and invite. Pray for him and invite. Call their name. Call their name. Lord, save Susan. Lord, save Johnny. Lord, prepare his heart when I ask him to come with me. Don't stop with just one time now. Just continue to pray. And that'll be a great thing to see. And just believe that the Lord can do it. And he can do it. We can't do it, but he uses us. Ye shall be my witnesses. And that's one of the last things he said, and we'll get to some of that tomorrow. God bless you as the instrument plays. Visit with one another. Higher ground.